accession number 32327, rule 3.
So you went to Tokyo for checkups and they couldn't do x-rays.
Then we left Tokyo for this island and we had a choice of going by train or fly. I flew. And I flew out to Honolulu. From Honolulu, I went to Manila in the Philippines. And we were in the Philippines, well, it seemed a long, long time. I suppose we were there for about a month, or 3 weeks or a month anyway. And
where were you there? Were you in a town or were you in a camp?
In a camp.
In a camp.
An American camp. And I should have told you this earlier on, really. We had a mine drift in... We worked on a mine drift, and we had a mine drift in our camp in Japan. And they had boarded it up and closed closed the entrance as well and filled it with TNT and petrol. And they told us, if the Americans invade, you're going in there. So fortunately, they didn't invade. But when I was in Manila, we had a helicopter flight, if you wanted to go, and to Cregador and Leyte, two islands nearby, and I witnessed the exact thing that had been done. There were skeletons of the poor, I suppose they were Americans, didn't matter, there were some of children, weren't there? And of the very thing they were going to do with us.
So you had a very lucky escape.
Oh, yes, yes. There's a fair amount of luck been all the way, I think. And I still count my blessings.
So lastly, from Manila, did you go by sea or by air to get back home?
We had a marvellous journey, I think. At least, mind you, there were some, even today, they're happier holding a bar up than they are sightseeing. We went by train all the way.
From where?
No, sorry. We didn't go by train all the way. From this island. Wait a minute now, where am I? Manila. That's right. We came by from... We were supposed to come by ship from Manila to San Francisco. Well, the ship broke down, one of these American things, and flat bottom, and the engine, the turbines went, and we were going at the mercy of the wind, and we were practically in Japan, in Australia. Anyway, we had on board ex-prisoners of war that had been on the repulse and on the Prince of Wales. And they went down and repaired the blessed thing. I wanted to go to Australia. And back we came to San Francisco.
Do you remember the name of that ship? Can you recall the name of that ship? Wasn't the Glory?
No, it wasn't the Glory anyway.
Okay, not to worry. So you got to San Francisco.
Got to San Francisco. We came under the bridge. And I went over the bridge as well, walked it. And we had all long stays. We were under medical supervision, of course.
Did they look after you well?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely can't. Of course, we were on a hospital train coming from now. We were leaving San Francisco down along California to Tacoma, Seattle, across Canada to New Jersey and over to New York, and awaiting there was the Queen Mary. I went out in New York once, and I was really scared. They were carrying guns there as we carrying umbrellas here, and anyway, I was quite happy on the Queen Mary.
And when did you arrive back in England? Can you remember roughly when it was?
Well, I hoped to be back for Mother's birthday, but about November we came back. We arrived. But I was held back with this blessed X-ray not taking.
Mm.
So I missed the train once or twice. So
you got back into, did you dock at Southampton?
Southampton, yeah.
And would that be what time in November? Can you remember, roughly? Is it the beginning, the middle?
Oh, beginning of November.
Right.
Yes. Because I'd hoped to be home by Mother's birthday, and that was on the 3rd of November.
And
but I wasn't.
You didn't make it for then?
No. But that is, if she was there, isn't it? But,
how did you let them know you were alive and well?
I didn't. Really. Oh, yes, sorry. I wrote a note that I was in this country and I'd be home sometime. And anyway, there was another chappie from the village. I didn't know him, but I did meet him on the Queen Mary, and his family, there were more, well, I don't know whether there were more with it or what, but they were watching every move, and they'd informed Mother and Father that we were arriving in Liverpool. Right, so anyway, we did. And, well, not Liverpool, sorry, Southampton. And we came by train to Chester. And that's right, yeah. Then I got on the train to Maud. Well, Maud was about 9 miles from home. Anyway, they picture me as just over 6 stone. Mother put on weight. I didn't recognise her. She didn't recognise me. But she was on the station. And only a mother would say this when we really... She came across Cyril, she said. I said, "Mum, I'm a big hurt." And she looked at one look at me and she said, "When did you last have a wash?" Well, Mum, I said, "It's my colour." I said, "I was as brown as a berry, you see. I've been in the tropics for so long." So, but only a mother would say that.
Indeed.
And that's it. That's the end of the story, really.
Well, I would like to ask you one more question, if I may. Did you encounter any difficulties in the post-war years? You mentioned earlier that you had been to the Liverpool School of Tropical Medicine.
Yes.
Was that for a... was that sent by your doctor, or was that a routine checkup? Or what?
Routine more than anything.
When was that visit? Roughly.
Roughly 1946, 47, I suppose.
Do you remember the names of any of the staff?
No.
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 Did you stay in Liverpool, or did you just visit for the day to
a
clinic?
Yes, I stayed in Liverpool. And we stayed in a... Well, it was an old asylum, actually. Right place to put it up, wasn't it? And... then we had treatment, and you could travel Liverpool if you were your brother Well, you know full well, there's only large and very large faces. Well, I had about 16 turnips in me pants. So I wasn't really relishing wearing these blues, but I did. And I had an aunt living in Liverpool.
What are blues? Is this a suit?
Yes.
A suit. Did you have...
Hospital blues, they call it.
Hospital blues. Did you have any difficulties in relationships with members of the family or friends, or in fact in finding work? Did the fact that you'd been away as a prisoner of war, did that have an effect?
Very.
Can you explain?
I wouldn't go out.
Can you explain to me?
I wouldn't go amongst people. And mother lost her temper one day, and she said, "Do something but smoke," she said to me. So I said, "What can I do?" I said. The only place I'd go was into the woods to collect firewood. And funnily enough, we had a neighbour. He was a German. And he was pinching my firewood. I used to get them in heaps ready in here. And I got him one day. And I, of course, the fuse was still short. I thumped him and gave him a right upper jaw. And he reported me the pretty next thing when I got home. The police were knocking the door. I had to go down and apologise. Anyway, that's... But no, I wouldn't go amongst
so
people.
So you found it very difficult to be around people. How long would you say, Cyril, that lasted? I mean, how did you get help? Your mum obviously felt like she needed to shock you into doing something.
Yes. Well, mind you, she did a very good turn. Mother baked her own bread, and she was an excellent cook. And having lost my first wife so young, it came in very handy. I mean, I didn't go hungry. I could make a cake, and so I did.
Yes.
And but it was about 6 months or more before I would go venture. And then when I went to town, people pointing out such happens in the prison world. I suppose I mean, I couldn't help that, could I?
Would you say this was largely ignorance, or were people feeling sympathetic towards you, would you think?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think you're sympathetic.
No.
No.
Were you given any advice when you were coming home about whether or not you talked about your experiences? Did anybody counsel you?
No.
No?
No. But I'm more freely now than I was then.
You were?
More freely in than I was then. Mm. I mean, to me then it was a different language, so they couldn't follow it.
Yeah.
And there's a tendency, I always thought, is there a tendency that you were a liar.
People thought you might have been exaggerating.
Yes.
Yeah. So you preferred not to say anything.
Yes. And just carry on.
Did you receive any support of any kind from organisations? Did you belong to FIPO Association or the British Legion?
Still do.
Did you find that helpful? Or did it seem the natural thing to do?
Well, it was. I mean, I use the term very often with ex-servicemen. They speak the same language.
Well, there's no need to explain this.
It's not going to see your seat and saying, "Oh, that's this." I mean, they don't understand it. They don't know what comradeship is.
That you don't need to explain to your fellow FIPO.
No.
They understand implicitly.
They know it, yes.
And what about the family? Did they treat you differently?
Oh, no, they were all right. Everybody rallied round, I think.
Yeah.
Yes, and they did whilst I was away. It was an awful time for my parents, bless them.
Mm. And what about work? Did you get straight back into work after 6 months or...?
No, I had 12-month leave. And I took every day of it. And then I started work. I'm an old grocer by trade. Apprenticed in Ruthin in 1929 and followed up. And I suppose one should learn a donkey about 3 kilo. And I went to work in Broughton, actually. They were building prefab houses then. And I wasn't happy there, so I went back to the shop. I went, and then I had my own business. Then my first wife's health broke down, and we packed up, and I lost her. And of all places, I went to the crematorium to work, and in Wrexham. And from Wrexham, they were opening a new crematorium in Wrexham, and they wanted
in Bangor.
And then they wanted a technician there, so off I toddled. Well, some of my colleagues, he was going to come as well, but his wife didn't want to move, and left him in Wrexham. And anyway, I came to Bangor and was quite happy there. And one of the first cremations was Ellen's mum. And that's where we met.
You people ask you where
you've been. And that's over 30 years ago. Isn't it?
Yes, 33.
How do you feel all these years after those experiences? Does it help in any way talking about it? Do you feel that it's something people should know about?
Oh yes, 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 by all means. I'm glad I've been, mind you, in the services. I've done my bit, and I volunteered for little enough to, and when I went to Wrexham, and Hugh, Sergeant Major, looked at me, just the man we want, he said. He had to widen the doors when I went home. I couldn't get through them. My shoulders were going, oh. Anyway, within a fortnight, I was
in.
Yes. Still, and I made some excellent friends. They've gone, bless them now. I forget from time to time I am the age I am. I've been spared, but I still count my blessings. And as I've said, if we want a better world, right. If I meet a chap in here now, right, I'll say good morning and that's it. I'll shake hands with him.
Well, thank you very much indeed for your time. Okay. Alan Edwards.
Yeah. And anyway, they left
Did you say Alan Edwards was one of 21?
Yes.
Good heavens.
Well, there were 20 and they adopted one, if you please.
Right. I suppose at that point it doesn't really matter. So Alan Edwards, was he out here as a POW?
We worked at, well, there was a firm of grocers in North Wales many years ago called E.B. Jones & Co., Edward Buckley Jones, and we worked for the firm, and he was from Ruthin, and I did my apprenticeship in Ruthin, and his pal has got has written a book, a Welsh book. Llewellyn.
Yeah, Brian Hebarch.
Yes.
Yeah. T. Llewellyn.
Into the Earth Without a Coffin.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Translation. Yeah. And Alan, he took a pigeon with him, and he came back to.
So was he in Tanjung Priok with you?
Yes.
And so he was one of these who took the pigeons at home back to the camp?
Yeah, and they'd come to Borneo. Yeah, but poor Alan didn't come back. Neither did Bill Shellard. He's a boy from Bath. We were bushman friends. And I was fortunate. I would have my demob down in...
Exeter? Exmouth?
No. I went through Bath anyway. And I stopped in Bath. And I went... I had your address. 136 Old Down, I thought it was Odd Down in Bath. And anyway, I stopped there and I had hours to spare anyway, and I went up to see Mrs. Shellard. The first thing I saw was Bill and I's photographs on the mantelpiece. And she'd lost 4 sons from 3 sons in law.
What a terrible burn. Terrible. And did he go to Borneo as well with Alan?
Yes.